Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Make this summer's adventures more extraordinary with Audible. While you're lounging by the pool, tending the garden, or road tripping to your favorite destinations, dive into Atmosphere, the captivating new release from Taylor Jenkins Reid. This Good Morning America book club pick launches readers into the fascinating world of 1980s NASA, where one woman's astronomical dreams collide with unexpected love. With over a million titles to explore, from beach reads to gripping thrillers, Audible transforms summer downtime into an adventure. Remember, there's more to imagine when you listen. Start your perfect summer companion with a 30-day free trial and get your first audiobook free at audible.com/wonderyuk.
My name is TJ Raphael. I'm the host of Liberty Lost, a new podcast about who gets to be a mother and the control of young women hidden behind the veil of faith. Binge all episodes of Liberty Lost ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. And joining me today is not Ronnie Karam. He is still off. He's having a wonderful, beautiful holiday for himself, as is much deserved. So in his place are two people who I just adore. Like, these are two great people. From the Elvis Duran and the Morning Show, we have Diamond Cooper and Andrew Pugliese. How are you guys? Andrew, did I say your name correctly?
Yeah,
did I do
Pugliese,
your name
correctly? It's the same.
Pugliese. I said Pugliese. I added in an I. I apologize. As someone who has a last name who's all that people also bungle, I feel terrible that I passed along that trauma onto your name as well.
It's fine. I'll talk to my therapist later.
Thank you so much for being here both to talk about the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion episode. We just finished talking. We had a very big episode talking about the Love Island finale and Family Day episodes. So that's on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens. Andrew and Diamond were kind enough to join me both today and on Friday to break down the final two episodes of Love Island. We had a lot of fun. We have a lot of opinions. And if you want to hear them, go check that out. But in the meantime, we are here today to talk Atlanta. So first and foremost, Diamond, you have been watching the whole season. You are we all are avid Bravo fans. But Diamond, every time I've gone to Elvis Duran in the Morning Show, I'm always thank you for having me. We always have like first like 30 minutes of like just talking straight up Bravo, and we get into it each and every time. And that's why I'm very excited to have you guys both here. So Diamond, you and I get real deep real quickly about all these things all the time. And Andrew, you are still on your journey. You are learning different shows, and yes. I am so excited for you.
Thank you. I mean, I have my favorites. My favorite is Atlanta. I started with this one. It's been a fun journey. I think I would continue the Atlanta. I'd go back.
There's a lot there.
My favorite Real Housewives, and I know I don't want to sound like the artsy kid, but like Real Housewives of Vancouver is the best series of Housewives ever, period. Get Hayu, get a VPN, and go watch that one, because that is the best.
Oh, honey.
I love that.
Oh, and Miami. I like Miami too.
Okay. Ben. Redemption. I like that made you the artsy kid. Like, I'm the artsy kid. I like Vancouver.
You wouldn't know about it. You wouldn't know about Vancouver.
Diamond. So how do you feel about Atlanta this season, Diamond?
Last season, I wanted it to be completely done. I wanted a full... No, I don't even want reboots anymore. So last season, I was like, I'm okay if it never comes back. This season was better than last season. It just missed the mark incredibly, like it by far. I was really happy that Portia was back. I was happy that Shamia was there because we've always been like kind of teased by her, where it's just like she's there, but then we don't really see much. And then we knew that there were things. I follow her on Instagram, or I did at one point, and I saw that, you know, what was going on with her daughter when she had her daughter. So I'm like, I want to know more. We saw the news about Kenya very early on, so we knew that something was going to happen. I've never been a big Kenya fan, so I was kind of like, okay, great, whatever. I didn't know that I would hate Britt by the end of the season. So it's just like, it did something. It didn't do what it needed to do. Let's put it like that, for me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I actually enjoyed the season more than I thought I would. I thought it actually started off really, really well, and I think that everything happened with Kenya, it just was, they were trying to kind of like figure out what to do after that. I think that they had an idea of how the season was going to go. It got all derailed. And so they were sort of treaded water there for a few weeks. And then, you know, Phaedra coming in at the end was like, she didn't do much, but she was, I think what we saw was a really good energy between her and Portia and Cynthia, a really good dynamic that was like really fun to watch. So they righted the ship a little bit. I think Angela was the find for the season, right?
10
out of 10.
Angela a lot.
Yeah. Andrew approves. Andrew is Angela Stan.
This is my only season watching of Atlanta. So for me, I know none of the connections with anything. And as like a watcher of just this one season, like just say picking this up, just say like a soft reboot, I have to say all the characters are very fun. I like a lot of, except Rick. I like a lot of them.
Thank you.
except for it. I think they all work really well together. Cynthia, I feel like I want to know her. She seems so nice.
You want to know her?
Yeah, I think Cynthia seems so sweet.
Cynthia was like one of the, she was on for a really long time, and then she left because she decided to go marry someone in LA, and she thought that that was the life that she was going to live, but she's back.
She's back.
All right, well.
Cynthia, I mean, I think her as a friend is a good lane for her. She even admits it as much in this reunion. I think that's a good lane because we get to visit with Cynthia, but we don't have to be burdened with her storylines, which are not always been the most thrilling or exciting.
Really? She wasn't entertaining. Yeah.
She was. Her husband was entertaining at one point. And her
Peter.
Friendships were entertaining in the fallout of both. Were entertaining, but then when it was time for her to carry something on her own, I don't think she clocked in the way that she should have.
I think friend of, you know, some people really thrive in the friend of role, and I think that she's one of those, maybe. I thought like overall, I think Angela like was a great find. I think Kelly is decent. She's like very up and down. It's like I think she had a lot of promise at the beginning of the season, and then she didn't really quite deliver on it. But she sort of perked up there at the end a little bit, right? Where do you stand on Kelly Diamond?
First of all, too much screaming from this woman. I'm like, I know that you're used to yelling in the kitchen of your restaurant, but there's a mic attached to you. You have to lower the tone. It's too loud. She rubbed me the wrong way from the beginning, just because like the moment you meet Portia, you're talking about, did you steal this woman's husband? I know that that's something that we all wanted to know. And like, we wanted to see that type of conversation happen, but I think she let like social media produce her a little too much in the beginning. Like she felt like I have to ask this question, you know, it's going to come out. Like, just let it ride. Like, take your time. She's just teamed too much, and I'm okay without her, honestly. She wasn't the prize.
I think that like when she started off with that energy of like, I'm new, I'm not afraid to ask questions, I was actually like, okay, I'm okay with this. I mean, it was a thirsty moment for sure. But at the same time, I was like, I like that she wasn't carrying away, but she actually did start to. She then sort of just like receded into this corner of the show where she would just like make breakfast with her girls and then talk about, I'm getting divorced. Like that's some exciting bombshell new thing that's never happened on reality TV before. So I was like, I was like, show me the waffles. I've been waiting all season for her damn waffles. We finally got to see them in a Williams-Sonoma of all places. But I just felt like I'm fine with her. I felt like she just did not. She wasn't as impactful as I would have liked. But I think that like her reunion performance was decent, good enough. Like I think she's like mid, but she's not a fail, if that makes sense. You know,
maybe not a fail. I guess
maybe we should aspire for more than just. Than like not a fail on this show. Yeah. Maybe that's the problem, you know?
Yeah. Like when you have someone like Angela there who has a marriage that everyone is questioning, failed real estate flips and stuff like that. And she's like bringing the drama and dropping things here and there. I'm like, now that is what you call a winner.
I love Angela. She's so funny. And I love how every situation, she always seems like she's like, now, what do we have here? It always seems like she's like asking a question as she's like talking about you. Like, I love.
Yeah.
She's very funny.
She has like a slow burn about her. Like, there's something she takes her fingers. She always puts them in the air like she's saying like, Mamma Mia. Yeah. She's always like doing a Mamma Mia hand. But then she shakes them at you. But she's asking a question. She's like, now, why would you go to the store? And I don't know what it is. Like, there's something about like her slow delivery.
Yes.
That is. And like her lines are often her comebacks are often very clunky. And yet she lands them every time. They just work in a way that I just really love, you know?
Yeah.
Some of people just have it. Some Real Housewives just have an X factor where you just know you love them and you can't explain why. And you're like, yes, she is in. She's a star. Kelly, maybe one more season, right? You know?
Yeah, she better wow me next year or I'm going to start the petition.
Okay.
Petition.
Well, let's get into
petitioning on.
Get her out. Oh,
Lord, Jesus.
Change.org. Okay, so why don't we get into this reunion? So it starts off. We're at the studios, you know, reunion tradition, which is that we never just start with a reunion. We have to watch people walk into the reunion and watch them getting ready like it's a boxing match. So they're all arriving. And the first significant thing that happens is that Phaedra goes into Britt's dressing room and no one is there. Mm-hmm. No, Britt is nowhere to be found. And as we all know, Britt did not go to the reunion. So they're all dumbfounded. What did you think? Do you guys think that Britt should have shown up and stood in her truth? Or are you happy just to be spared of Britt for an episode?
I think that she should have been there, especially based off of like the amount of shit that she talked all season. Mm-hmm. Like just this like I'm a tough guy type of vibe, you know, that she gave off where she would start like really attacking them verbally, like whoever she was arguing with or anything that like bothered her in the slightest. She'd snap in a way that was like,
when you go low, I go lower.
Are we preparing for a fight? And so like I felt like this would have been her time to redeem herself. But also if I was production, she probably was a liability for them. Like, are we sure that she's not gonna do anything? But then I'm honestly happy because I can't with that nasally.
The whole time I watched, I was like, is this how she really sounds the whole time? Like, I can't do a whole 17 episodes of
I'm just saying, I don't know.
It was bad.
It's a lot. And I think what's hard is that, like, you know, there's certain like lanes that housewives take. And she took the, like you said, when you go low, I go lower lane of Brandi Glanville, Leah McSweeney, maybe, and some others who've just sort of done that path where it's like, oh, they're always going to. They're always looking for that fight. And then they're Tamra, you know, like, oh, well, I'm just, you know, but I just, it's my, when I'm backed into a corner, I fight, but I really love you. You know, they always have that same arc. But those people also, like, they flourish at the reunion. Like, that's what they have that persona. And then at the reunion, they go nuts and they go crazy. That's almost like what they look forward to. So it's wild that she adopted that persona or she led with that and then was like, yeah, but I'm also can't follow this through at the reunion. Like, that's supposed to be your prime forum.
I don't think that she would have what you were saying before about Angela, she's able to, like, I don't know, make her point. Even if it's not coming across right, you could still follow the plot line. I feel like when Britt is arguing, it's just so low that, like, that's all she knows pretty much how to do, that she couldn't make her points and she would get very frustrated and probably just leave anyway. She would look for the moment that she could walk off the couch and they would follow her and it would be the Brit show that you'd be annoyed by the whole time. And that's nobody wants to watch that. There's like seven other people on this cast.
Is it possible that that like State Farm told her you're not allowed to go on the reunion because they
remember she since was they had her, her license taken away? Like,
her license was under review for what Kenya Moore did.
I texted you about that. I'm like, this insurance business is not that serious. Like, you set up your own LLC. I know it's not that serious. You're probably petitioning on Facebook to get clients. It can't be that, like, it's not that deep.
And Angela clocked her with that whole mess. Like, she's like, they don't really do that unless it's something very serious. Like,
I don't understand what Brit is. Like, Brit works in insurance, but like can afford like these Bentleys or whatever. She's acting like she's balling on like a, but she's like an insurance agent, but like nothing really is added up to like what she does and why is she so quote unquote successful at all. The entire time,
the three toilet paper rolls and the $250 donation,
and then there was that too. Exactly. So anyway, they're like looking for her. She's like nowhere to be found. Meanwhile, Portia, it's like it's 8:30 in the morning, and Portia just like napping and not in any glam. And they're supposed to start at 9 a.m. I was like, oh, this reunion is not starting on time.
Yeah,
this
is
no. That's going to take
barefaced. The wig was just glued on. You could tell it hadn't even given time to sit. I'm like, Portia, what are you doing? But then also it was hilarious because didn't she walk in still and before Drew?
Yeah, she did.
It's like,
they
were
all so late. Like they started this reunion at like 3 hours late. And Andy was surprisingly not upset by it. I think it's because he knew they were going to be late. So he was just like, just let me know when they're ready. Plus they were also, let's be honest, probably trying to figure out what to do now that Brit wasn't going to be there. They had to probably rethink all the questions and the order of everything instead. So it probably worked out well, but I loved when Portia was lying there and she's saying how she told Brit, like, you know, I said like, take some magnesium. I mean, I took about three. And Phaedra's like, don't do that. You're going to be having diarrhea. She's like, oh, is that why I have diarrhea? I don't know.
Like, what are you talking about? Magnesium for a reunion. Like,
I don't know what magnesium does, but I didn't know you were supposed to use it to treat anxiety.
Yeah, I thought it puts you to sleep. Like, it helps you go to sleep.
But I think it's also in Pepto-Bismol. So it settles your stomach, but it could also like work. Mysterious ways much. For other reasons. I don't know.
Yeah, it was
all wrong.
So they all come out. The dress code is like C-3PO. Everything's like gold metallics. Which, by the way, Alandria on Love Island finale night was very on trend for the Atlanta reunion. She also was wearing a gold, like a gold bodice. So they all have different. They come out 3 hours late in different variations of this. Some may be more successful than others. Which ones did you think looked best and which ones did you guys think worse, if you can remember?
Oh, Portia, definitely 10 out of 10. Yes, I think she looked great.
Yeah, I loved it. Shiny and gold. It was also, hers was more goldenrod as opposed to Big Bird Yellow, which is where like maybe Drew Sidora went and some others.
Oh. Another one that I liked Shamia's.
Kelly looked a mess.
Yeah, Kelly looked a mess. But the worst. Oh, I didn't like Phaedra's like headpiece and earrings. I think that took away from everything. I don't even remember what her dress looked like.
She had these big, enormous earrings that were like they were like rainbows, but they were not. They're like these giant semicircles that were very swinging around. Weird. And everyone had there were so many metallics and bangles going on that the entire reunion sounded like people like moving silverware around. Yeah. It was so clunky. Everything was clanky.
Sound editor hates to see the cast coming.
By far the worst was Drew. And I think Drew that she needs crazy. To. She looked horrible, but she always looks horrible. And then, no, she does. No, she does.
She like, does. She does.
You know, I think that hopefully after this, her and Portia can mend things because one of the worst things was her hair. And I don't know. Talk shit about go naked hair and now you have to go find another hair company whose quality isn't as good. I didn't like it. I just was like, and then this little, she like tried to do like a little edge thing here. I can't.
And then her makeup was, everything was sort of like really, there was one point where there was like a shot of her close up. And I was just like, she just looked deranged. she looked like she had just fallen in a dumpster or something. It was crazy.
But like Big Bird's dumpster, because it's like all his feathers are all over the place. Also, has feathers ever looked good on a dress? Ever. Like, I'm not even
they
talking
can.
About
like, there was
yes.
someone in blue they once. Can. Who was that? That I think that was Atlanta too. Was it Marlo? Yeah. It was someone.
But it may have been Portia. May have been Portia herself. Yeah. Well, there was a cast photo once where they were, I don't remember.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
By the way, just to check in, so Andrew, since you're new, you don't have the full breadth of Drusidora, but Diamond, where do you stand on Drusidora?
Can't stand her. I want her gone. I wanted her gone last season. And this, I used to love Drusidora, right? She was in Step Up as Drusidora. Mm-hmm. She was in The Game as Drusidora. Mm-hmm. So, like, I've been a fan of hers. When she first signed on to do the show, I was like, oh, okay. Like, great. Like, she's going to be great. And then maybe, like, episode 4 of last season, I was like, yeah, hard no for me. Because you realize that she's a liar. She has lied so much. She's been caught in all her lies, but yet she still continues to double down. And it's just like, I don't want this. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't. And I didn't like her working with Dennis. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it. And so,
hot dog purveyor turned music producer Dennis. Yes.
Yes. Which is also kind of scammy. But you know what? I love a short king. So I'm going to stand beside him a little bit in this.
Okay.
I felt like it was a little messy. Like, Portia's kind of putting money in your pocket. And
Drew is very messy. I am like, I have felt like Drew has been a scam artist for a while. Really, I think it really kicked in with the with her Drop It with Drew endeavor, where she was like, I lost 60 pounds in 1 week. And I was like, okay, you are a scammer. And I was like you. I was like, Drew has to go. But I think I've come around to realize that, like, one of the fun parts of these shows is having those deluded scammers on, and when they just like spin their bullshit and just like laugh at them, like, you are so, because she's so bad at it. Like, she's so blatantly lies. Also, I did take a little offense, Diamond, in what you said. You mentioned her credits. You said that she was in Step Up and The Game. I think you forgot Todd Tucker's The Pass as Drusidora.
Todd Tucker's. Oh, where she started dating, what's her? They were friends, Ty. Oh, we're just friends. Please pack it up. I can't with this woman.
There was the one divorce scene, and she's like, he wants 40% of my LLC. In my head, I often feel like whenever the housewives like throw a business in someone's face and they're like, they want 40% of my LLC. How much is in this LLC is my question. And what is the, and it's Drusidora LLC. So she named her own company after herself. But what's being licensed? Like, I have so many questions.
I'm not sure what recently is, but if she's getting any sort of like royalties or getting any percentages from those movies, she has been in a lot of movies, like sort of that you don't realize.
I watch The Game religiously to this day. So she's making money off of me
if it's anything like Elvis's checks from Die Hard, that man gets 2 cents.
No, babe, she's getting more than that.
I don't think he needs an LLC for that one.
Well, at the very least, she's definitely getting her salary from this very show in there. And Ralph is a whole other issue, and we will get to him because he, of course, makes a cameo. It's not a good reunion until Ralph shows up. So we start with Andy, who does his typical thing where he's like, welcome to the Real Housewives of Atlanta. I'm Andy Cohen. Now, after 16 years, Atlanta has always reigned supreme, but this season came with a bit of a facelift, a remix, and a whole new vibe. One of our juiciest peaches made her grand return. 4 new peaches hit the group chat. 1 OG clocked out. Another clocked in. A peach fell on the floor. A peach rolled off the cart. And someone else stepped on a peach. It started off spicy, got sweet, then spicy more, and then stayed shady all the way. It like goes on for like 10 minutes. I'm like, we get it. We're back at the reunion. We understand.
His ChatGPT was working overtime for that intro.
So now, since Britt wasn't there, I got the distinct feeling that they had to fill up so much time with like meaningless patter. It was like, hey, Shamia, how are you? She's like, I'm good. Good. Good to see you, Shamia. So how's your car doing? Did you get new mats in it for your feet? Yes, I did. Oh, that's great. Where'd you get those mats? What do you think? Hey, Portia, what do you think about Shamia's mats in her car? It's like, it felt like it was like endless, like, you know, chatter. By the way, I was also really happy with Shamia's hair at the reunion because I did not like her hair all season long. I felt like it was. I felt like it was like very matronly, and I wanted her to like look like she's trying to break into singing. Like, don't look so matronly, you know.
That bob, that shortcut, it wasn't it.
I didn't love it. Like, it was like fine as like a general look, but I just wanted her to be like a little bit more chic, you know, because I love me some Shamia, or at least I have historically loved her. And so I just want her to be like a little more, you know.
Yeah, the bob last night was, she ate that. She ate it up. It looks really good.
She definitely ate it. She ate it like a peach. So Andy's like, oh, Shamia from plus one to the one. And she's like,
that was,
I mean,
so corny.
Yeah. And then I mean, of course. And she's like, I mean, that's what they say. And he's like, do they say that? I'm like, I love Andy. Like, immediately he's like, I'm going to call you this thing. And then I'm going to act like no one's ever. And then I'm going to totally retract it. Like, do people ever say that to you? It's like, you just said it, Andy.
Yeah, literally.
So he goes around the horn. He says hi to everyone. Angela has her fan. I think she's selling those fans now, right? Is that what
I heard? Angela's.
I may buy it. I might buy one too.
And Andy asks Kelly if she brought any chicken and waffles. I was like, I'm not even sure she owns a waffle iron at this point.
I don't think so.
I don't think she knows how to do it. What sort of lazy self-promotion has Kelly been doing all season? Like, there should have been waffles everywhere. It should not have been one episode late in the season. It should have been, she made so many meals with her kids. Every single thing coming out of that kitchen should have been a waffle. I don't care what time of day it was. It should have been waffles nonstop.
Or at least get a Cricut machine that you could put like your logo on things. I don't know. Just like product placement, something.
Order waffle fries, something. Get something with a waffle.
God, you know? Yes.
Do you remember, I don't know, this is really specific. Andrew won't know this, but Diamond, maybe you will. Yeah, sorry. There is one season where Sheree went to meet someone at like a breakfast spot. And she's like, she was asking the waitress. She's like, what's a womelet? They're like, it's a waffle omelet. She goes, I'll have that. And that's always stuck with me. That
no,
Sheree got a womelet. She got an omelet that was made in a waffle iron. And I always thought that was so funny. And I just, so Sheree too. Because, you know, like all day long, she was like, I just had a womelet. You ever hear of a womelet before? You have a womelet? You ever had a womelet?
Did you hear what they referenced her about Kelly's waffle?
Oh my God. Thing? Yes.
Summer.
They're like, when is that coming out? Spring, summer. That's always bad. When someone pulls that joke out on you, it's like, haha, it's a joke, but they're basically telling you,
it's not happening.
You're not doing what you need to be doing right now, you know? So Andy's like, well, as you may have noticed, Britt Edie has decided not to join us today. And they keep on highlighting this because they keep on doing this wide shot of the other sofa with all this negative space where Britt was supposed to be. Like, and at one point they just do like a close up of a pillow, just an empty seat with a pillow. It's like, Britt, does the pillow of Britt have anything to say? Were you looking forward to Britt reclining on you? No? Okay.
What seat would she have been on the couch?
Well, they left a spot at the end.
Oh, so she would have been the end.
Yeah.
She would have been the end after, it would have been Portia and then what's her face?
Phaedra.
And then Britt. Yeah, because Phaedra was nice to Britt. So I think that's where they would have had her. And then Britt could have gone up against Kelly that way, face to face. But yeah, she decided not to join. And so Andy asks like what everyone's thoughts are. And Kelly's basically saying, well, you know, she caused mass destruction in our friend group. You know, she plays victim and villain at the same time. And Phaedra's saying how, like, you know, we're a sisterhood. We're in a sorority together. And, you know, if she wasn't comfortable enough to call me, like, whatever. But, like, whether you like it or not, we're in sisterhood. But isn't it funny? Because like, didn't Phaedra also just like quit Married to Medicine like mid-season?
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. Which is why her being on this season was the real flop. Like,
yeah.
She literally said that she only filmed 10 days with these women. And so like, what was the point? Yeah, what was the point?
So the whole end of the season, like the last 6 episodes are all just from 10 days.
Yeah, she basically went on vacation with him and then shot like 2 scenes. Like, yeah, which is, it also says like, clearly you see how they had to amend their shooting schedule because of everything with Kenya, which is why the whole season got messed up. I always have a theory that when someone gets fired or someone leaves midway through, it messes up the entire season because they plan out like every beat of a season. They know exactly what they want to happen. So when they have to like think on the fly, it's like a disaster. But yeah, so no one knew that she wasn't going to come and, you know, and everyone's like upset because they were going to like, you know, they basically wanted to confront her about all her lies and all her bullshit, you know, but she obviously, and by the way, there's no like admission of better admission of guilt than not showing up at the reunion. And once you do that, then it's like not showing up at court. You're just automatically guilty of everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. And then the whole, like, I'm suing the network and stuff. Like, girl, please.
Yeah.
Like, please.
Well, she's saying that, like, it wasn't even her on the posters, but she's suing the network because the network, Bravo, made her think it was her. And so the distress of that, what created a hostile work environment.
What?
Which,
yeah. That's crazy.
Apparently, so our friend Ceci, who does the Bravo Docket podcast, she said, like, yeah, it's actually like she does have some grounds there, some legal grounds, but I still think she's bullshit, full of bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. All that from a FedEx Kinko's poster board. Jeez.
Yeah. Be careful. Be careful what you put on your foam core, you know? Do you guys, do you think that Kenya should come back next season, or do you think that what she did was actually was just like too awful?
I don't think she should come back. I do think what she did was awful. Mm-hmm. But I think that Bravo does need to take some of the blame because they've allowed her to do things the entire time that she's been on the show that have, like, I feel like we could have seen this coming. It's been a buildup. She showed us who she was a long time ago. I don't think that we thought that she would go as far as she did, but the signs were always there. So like, do I blame her for thinking that this was another thing that she could get away with? Maybe not. If they let her get away with so much in the past, like, she's going to test those boundaries, right? So, like, and she had a lot of stuff to say when Nene left. And then she tried to, you know, spin the block now last summer and you know, try to stir up the same type of argument. Oh, if this was a white housewife, then, you know, she would have gotten a pass. And I'm like, you don't get to do that when you turned your back on Nene when she was trying to make that point or case. So, I think that she should be exactly where Nene is, you know, somewhere off camera.
Somewhere off camera. Somewhere out there, as Linda Ronstadt once sang. So, Portia.
Yeah.
Yes, I did just equate Kenya to Fievel and his sister. So, so then, like, it's like 10 minutes of this patter. And then finally, Andy is like, okay, now we're going to start. But first, does anyone want to set an intention? Because this is what he does now at reunions. Does anyone want to set an intention? Which is hilarious because no one, all the intentions are always bullshit. It's like, I would like to set an intention that I can stop being so great and I can listen to other people. There's always these very self-serving intentions, but like, sure. And so Portia is saying that she wants to set an intention today to honor who we are and where we are in whatever space, which literally means nothing to me. What does that even mean?
Not a damn thing. Not a damn. I'm like, girl, sit down. Like, stay where you are and just.
And Portia's like, she's like, I'm really here to figure out like what's going on and a way forward and how we're gonna like close the door. Portia literally says that with every like sit down scene she has with someone, and she always storms out every single time. So the fact that she's saying, I want to like just really hear the issues and close the door, I'm like, why do I feel like that's not really going to happen this time?
It's a fun house. There's many doors and she just keeps closing them.
Why do we take anything that she says like peace talk wise? Why do we take that seriously after the way she behaved on her spinoff? Like, you tried to fight your child's grandmother. Girl, I don't want to hear about peace talks and peace treaties and shit. Like, go away. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't.
Yeah. So now we go to commercial break, and when we come back, it's like, welcome back. We just spent 10 minutes saying hello to everyone, and we had a commercial break when there was not even a cliffhanger. So the fact that you came back is amazing. Let's give a warm welcome to the best friend Real Housewives of Atlanta has ever had, which is, by the way, disrespectful to both Shamia and to Marlo. The one and only Cynthia Cheekbones Bailey. Great to see you. Wow. Marlo and Shamia put in years in the friend of bench. And Cynthia does one season, like three quarters of a season, and is like, you're the best friend that we ever had on the show ever. You did so effortlessly. So she's back. They put her on the bench. She's probably out way earlier than she was expected, but they're like, bring it. We don't have anyone. Like, bring out Cynthia.
Can't keep shooting that same couch cushion.
Yeah, because she sits there and then she says almost nothing for the rest of the episode. But they're like, there's too much negative space on our two shots. So Andy, she said, you know, she says she actually really loved being a friend of, because she's like, you know, I've been through so many different things that people are going through. I've been through divorce and I've been married and I've been through friendship breakups, and I was able to be supportive. And I was like, yes, and you were boring through all of those things too.
Literally.
Beautiful but boring.
I loved her. She was so fun on the show. I need to go back and rewatch these older seasons just to see, like,
was much better as a friend of. She really, like, I feel like she really came more to life as a friend of. I think that as, like, a main cast member, sometimes it was a real struggle. Mm-hmm. She had moments. She had moments. She was very likable. But, like, every time I was like, oh, we're going to have a Bailey cue, I was just like, oh, God, back to the lake house.
Yeah. Like Bailey. Like, come on.
Like Bailey. It just didn't really go off the same way as Chateau Charest, you know? So they talk a bit about her and her man, Amsterdam, et cetera, and like how she's older. He's like 39. And, you know, I have a thing where I don't really care too much about people we never see, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, when they ask questions about like love interests who are off camera and then we've never seen them ever before, I don't generally get into that, you know?
Yeah. Nobody cares. Right. Because I think that we're conditioned now to feel like, well, if it didn't happen on the show, then it's not real. Mm. Right. Like, remember the Africans? Like, okay, we have no clue who they are. So like, let it go, you know?
Yeah.
I can't. And yeah, this guy doesn't even live in America. Like, what are we doing?
So now we go to now after we have like check with Cynthia, Andy is like, okay, well, this season was really meant to be your happily ever after, Portia. But after filing for divorce from your would-be Prince Charming and getting sucked back into some drama with the Hot Dog King, you did everything you could to protect your kingdom and most of all your peace. Here's how that worked. I was like, whoa. I was like waiting for a pun to drop. You know, it's funny because like I make fun of Andy for all his sweaty puns all the time. But then like when there isn't one, I'm like, wait a second.
Like, what is it?
Where is the pun? I guess the Prince Charming and Happily Ever After and a kingdom. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're trying to build a fairy tale thing in there a little bit.
Yeah, it's almost there. Sure. I'll give them some marks. Solid B.
Okay. Solid B. So we get to we're in the Portia segment. So she talks about her cousin Londi, which is so sad about Londi.
I felt bad.
Yeah, that was really, really, that was terrible. And then Andy is saying how it was like really great to see Portia's house. I feel like the Portia's house storyline felt a little half-baked to me this season, right? Mm-hmm. Like we opened up the season with her being upset that she couldn't film in her own house. And then we kind of like dropped that thread. And then in the season finale, out of nowhere, we had this like little coda where she's like, by the way, guess what? I can film in my house again. Felt a little ham fisted. What did you think, Diamond?
Yeah, and she's at the house and she's just walking on her treadmill in the finale.
Yeah.
With makeup on.
All this build up to her treadmill. She's
like, finally, you can see my routine.
I think what they tried to do, especially because, like, you know, I've read her book and there were certain things in her book that she, I guess, couldn't talk about on the show, but you saw it like happening. So, like, early on when she left, not when she left Cordell, but when she was put out, I guess, basically, when they got a divorce, she said that, like, she had to rent the house to film in that was quote unquote her mom's house. They didn't have money for it or whatever. So I guess like a part of her personal storyline is like there's always like a house situation. Remember the mat when she finally did buy this house, the mat was too small and blah blah blah.
Oh yeah, of course.
I think that that's like personal to her for some reason, but I don't think that she realizes that we don't care.
Like, well, it wasn't translated to us in a way. It wasn't like presented to us with like emotional stakes like that. It was just kind of like, oh yeah, that sucks that she can't film in her house.
It's like, okay, go somewhere else. Also, why are we fighting over homes? Like, you have the means to just go and move and start life over since you really want to start over. Girl, get let it go.
To be fair, to be fair, as the season went on, I could understand why she was upset she couldn't film in her home, because it was like her other options were to go to like Britt Edie's like cramped townhome or Kelly's like one bedroom apartment. So like, I'm like, you know what? Like maybe there's something to it. She's like, I am a celebrity. I do not want to film in these small spaces. Like I have a living room, you know, there is Shamia's place that has the elevator in it as well.
Sick. But the house is amazing.
Shamia's got some real money. And I feel like it's like real money. You know, a lot of times on these shows, we were just talking about right before we started recording, we talked about the new girl on Miami, Stephanie. You know, there are these people that come on who are very wealthy, but you kind of feel like they are harboring huge amounts of like debt and bankruptcy and lawsuits. Mm-hmm. Like that's just like hidden off camera. But I feel like with Shamia, I feel like that money is like solid. You know, that's like air conditioner money. That's like
obscure jobs. If your husband has an obscure job title, if he's a porta potty person who cleans the porta potties, if he's the person that like, I don't know, puts the seats in movie theaters, they have real money because they're the first in. Who else real owns estate? Porta potties?
Real estate. There's grift going on there, you know. Mm-hmm. Air conditioners at the largest airport in the country. Mm-hmm. That elevator, there's money for that elevator and all the repairs it will ever need. Okay.
Hello.
It's a Wonka elevator. It goes up, down, left, right. She could fly around her house all over the place. That's the type of money they have.
It is a Wonka. It is a Wonka original. Okay. Absolutely. Air conditioner money. That's how you get through in life. So I'm happy for Shamia on that. That I think she has that real money there.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So they start talking about the divorce from Simon, and there's like a little bit of a squabble between Portia and Kelly, because Portia compares her divorce to Kelly's, saying it was like a phantom divorce, and then Kelly starts getting a little flustered, like, our divorces are not the same. We do not have the same divorces. We're not the same. You can't talk about that. We're not the same. Which is funny because she spent all season talking about how her divorce was, like, she kept comparing her divorce, using her divorce to relate to other people, to be like, you know, Drew and I, we're basically having the same divorce, you know? So now suddenly she's like, no, I have a distinct and unique divorce. We have a waffle up for debate. I'm not sure when I'm going to get my waffle iron back from this man. You don't know what the pain I've gone through.
I have to wait for Black Friday for a new one. It's not fair.
So then also we talk about Simon being detained by ICE, which I didn't realize had already happened by the time this reunion happened. That's crazy that Simon is being detained by ICE right now. I'm assuming he's still in there, right? We haven't heard that he got out, right?
No, he's out.
Oh, he's out? Oh.
And he's in, I think he's in Dubai now.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder how that... How can you still, how does that work with a divorce if your partner got deported? I mean, I guess Teresa Giudice did it, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
The original, the real pioneer of Bravo deportation, Joe Giudice. Oh.
Yeah. That woman. If he comes back into the, does he owe her money?
I think she gets something. No.
She gets something. I imagine whatever it is, things have to be ironed out, you know? And I don't know if the person you're divorcing gets sent to another country, can they just be like, whatever, good luck, see you later.
Yes, that is true. Because someone I know, their ex-husband fled the country, and only recently did they serve him papers at a music festival, but it took 3.5 years for him to come back in the country.
Oh no, we would have to fight.
But he
I'm not gonna hold my life up like that.
He owed him like so much money that like they you can't tell Dubai, oh, make me get this check from this man. They're gonna be like, what? Yeah,
you can't extradite. I think that if you flee the country or like while someone's, well, now, and to be fair, Simon did not flee the country. He was deported because we're living in this state, yes, right now of like ICE doing this to people.
Super cool.
But like, but it, I think it actually, in this case, it probably worked out for him in terms of like a divorce situation, because now he could be like, okay, I don't want to have to deal with this. Yeah. But and I'm not saying it worked out for him in all situations, because it's not, it's still, you know, terrible what's happening. But I do think though that if you flee the country during a divorce, I think it should be like not showing up at the reunion. I think it's like, okay, you're automatically guilty, you forfeit everything.
Yeah,
I think that should be a law. If you if you willingly leave, and again, Simon did not willingly leave, but if you, or it's like if you're out of the country for a certain amount of time, not tending to your divorce, then you just forfeit it all. Maybe that is a law somewhere.
Hopefully.
I'm glad we're figuring things out on this episode. We're really getting
some lawyers things. Definitely listening, and it's just like wrong.
Yeah. This is 100% happening. There are people in our audience that's gonna be like, these idiots right now talking like they have any idea what's going on and making light of a very serious situation of deportation. But yeah, and Portia does address that people are saying that she called ICE on him, and she's like, yeah, no, that's, I'm not gonna do that. Like, that's it's not a funny thing for me at all, you know. So then Andy asks if Gerald and Simon were buddies, and Shamia saying that they were like couples friends, mm-hmm, you know. But like, she's like, you know, is he a scammer, anything like that? Like, whatever, like, you know, I don't know, whatever. So, Andy is now takes an audience question. He's like, James from Jersey says, Kelly, why did you really want validation from Portia to see if she messed with that lady's husband? Were you asking out of concern or to be messy? And Kelly says, this is referencing when she said, why did you take that woman's husband? Kelly says, I was definitely asking out of concern.
You knew she was asking to be messy.
You cannot say you were asking out of concern. You just met this person and you're going to say you were asking out of concern. Please, Kelly.
Concern for who? Fallon? She has moved on to her own new mess. Like, what are we talking about?
You know what's... Every time I think of Fallon, I always think of her in her Halloween costume. Remember her Halloween costume where she was like in scale? She was like in scales. She was like Medusa, and she was running around with a golf club. And like, that's all I think about with Fallon is like everything. Every time I think about Fallon being wronged as a wife, I just think of her as Medusa with a golf club, like chasing after someone.
When they had to like pin her down in the garage, I'm like, and this is the woman that we're like literally fighting for.
I need to watch that. That sounds entertaining,
honey.
That was a wild episode. Well, that was also where, by the way, Kenya got into trouble, was that episode, because she came dressed like a Native American, and she caused quite the stir with that. And she had to issue a whole formal apology, mm-hmm, and do the whole, you know, my culture is not my costume thing, like an awareness of that, yada, yada. And so, yeah.
She ever left the show prior to that, or has she been on the show since the beginning?
She left for a season because she decided to get married and keep it off of the show.
Weird. Mm-hmm. I guess she was looking for a spinoff.
You know what?
I think she was looking actually for, I think she was looking for her fairy tale. I think she was desperate to have like get married and have a child. And mm-hmm, she was like, I will sacrifice the show if I have to do that. And then she, of course, got attached herself to a true troll of a man. And it's a good lesson why don't mm-hmm like sacrifice your standards just because mm-hmm you have an idea of how you want to live, like what you want in your life.
And also don't talk shit about other people's situations, because you never know the cards you'll get dealt. Like, she talked so much shit about people. She mm-hmm did things that could have compromised people's marriages and stuff like that. You don't play around with stuff like that. Nice. Clark it.
she really, really did. And I think that like Mark really kind of ruined Kenya as a reality star, because she then got dragged into a prolonged custody battle where she had to be on mm-hmm best behavior. So she couldn't really even be the villain that she was so good at being. And I think she lost her touch in those intervening years. So then mm-hmm when she came back for this season, she just really messed up and flopped mm and it was a disaster.
all for him to be in the background of her lives now. I'm like, what the, what is going on here? What happened to his girlfriend that she claimed that he, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. He was terrible. So Kelly is trying to claim that she like was asking this question out of concern. And but she also said she also feels like Portia did not really love Simon. And Portia is she's just kind of like, but we had a conversation about this. So why now all of a sudden you're acting like this out of nowhere. But then they're again comparing divorces and stuff. And basically Kelly is like, do not compare our divorces. It's not okay. This you're comparing apples to peaches. Apples, you get it? Because we're on Real Housewives of Atlanta. Peaches, you see what I did there? Peaches.
Oh, she snapped for herself.
She was so proud. She was really proud of her apples to peaches moment there, you know. And she's like, just don't compare our divorces. And he's like, okay, no one really cares about this. So anyway. At Poopy Face from Twitter says, Portia, you know, people think you stole a cast member's husband. So why would you say you would fuck Angela's husband? She's like, well, let me apologize again. I mean, even though when you found out about it, we talked to Cynthia's event, Angela apologized to me because she brought the Simon situation, but let me apologize again. And Angela's like, no, what I said was I didn't drag it. You were the first person to ask about Charles. And you said, I know something about your husband. And so in Nashville, I said, why did you take that woman's husband? And Shamia said she introduced you to Simon. And then this turns into a random thing about Shamia denying that she introduced them. And Shamia was like very adamant, like, I did not introduce them whatsoever. Why was this a sticking point for Shamia, do you think?
I don't know, because there's clear footage of her saying that she introduced them.
Well, she said she was there. No, she said she was in the footage. She said, I was there when they met, but she didn't say she didn't actually say that she was the one introduced. She just said that she was there when they met. But I also didn't understand. What does it matter? Like if she introduces them or not?
I don't know. Did you see when Andy clocked in? He's like, well, was this a lie that you guys came up with to make it seem like, because they talked about it on the show in the past.
Yeah.
They said that Shamia introduced them. And I thought that like Shamia had said, yeah, introduced them. But it's weird. Like,
but
okay.
Then Andy asks Portia, did Shamia introduce you to Simon? And Portia takes like a really long beat and she almost doesn't know how to answer it. And then she's like, listen. And he's like, wait, what? Wait, did she introduce you? Like, what's going on here? And yeah, you're right. Andy's basically like, well, did you guys come up with like a cover story to hide the fact that you got into his DMs? And then they're like, you know, there's a lot of like back and forth on that. And so then Portia then at that point is like, no, I definitely like I got introduced to him and it happened. Okay. It happened. Let's just move on. So maybe there was something fishy going on here.
It had to have been because like, I don't know.
It seemed like such a small point for them to be like stumbling over, for Shamia to be all of a sudden denying. And it seems like Shamia and Portia are not in a good place. So now I feel like Shamia no longer wants to cover for Portia, which is why she's like, I did not introduce them whatsoever.
Oh, see, I didn't even think of it like that. I thought that she was like being a good friend. Like, I'm not going to tell on you. Oh. But I don't know. It's just very weird. And for it to be something that was so like, this is not a big deal at all. Mm-hmm. So why are you making it a big deal? Now we have to pay attention, you know?
The cover up is worse than the story.
Yeah.
Like there was a part of me that is cringe. Yeah,
I got the feeling like this reunion, like I felt like this episode, there was a lot of like sort of small potatoes fights where I was like, oh, I don't know why we're sort of squabbling about this stuff, but I was like trying to follow, so Kelly's mad that she's comparing her divorce to hers, and now Shamia's mad that she's being accused of introducing Portia to Simon, but like, I'm not sure if I understand like what the why it all matters, you know.
Right.
I was like, I felt like we were just like filling in space because Britt wasn't there a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
So then, okay, well, Maxine from Boulder said, Drew, you said on a recent podcast that Porsche's return was a flop and a tryhard, which coming from Drew says a lot. I mean, like, she's the queen flop, right? I know. Actually, is it because you guys share a name? Is that why?
Yeah.
That's the only reason. Tell us,
Andrew, tell us, what do you like about Drew?
I feel like she is like a, I don't know, like a Heather Gay almost, where I think she knows how to keep the plot moving. Like, she will put herself in the line of fire. She will make herself look like a goof if it progresses the plot. Mind you, should she be doing that? Because then you can ask a lot of questions about what she's doing in her day to day. I think that she knows how to play, like, she's in on the joke.
Oh. Do you know who's going to be very happy to hear that? Drew Sidora. Drew Sidora. Oh.
Because you fell for it.
Drew,
I think that was the
point. Like, drop it with Drew.
She wanted to do that, but I don't think she realizes that, like, if we are laughing, we're not laughing with her, we're laughing at her. Like, you are so full of bullshit that it's like everybody sees through it, but besides you.
Those are the characters I love watching on reality television. They are oblivious to how they're actually coming off. They have the impression in their head that they are, like, I don't know, Drew Sidora LLC. It apparently has billions of dollars that she can't have 40% going away from. But in reality, it's like she went on LegalZoom and registered her name. Like, it's not a corporate entity that's being traded on the New York Stock Exchange.
You never know. So then Drew is Drew basically is like, Portia came on this season. She came back here to attack me the entire season. To which Portia says, I mean, she should be worried about who's flipping and flopping in that basement with Ralph. Don't worry about me. Which, by the way, one of my favorite things about this season is that, like, we have an entire storyline of Ralph being stuck in the basement.
Can I come upstairs? What?
Like, so honestly, bizarre. For that alone, like, the season was kind of worth it. Just like Ralph stuck in the basement. And every time they'd mention Ralph, they would just, like, put the camera on the basement staircase, like, he's down there.
Sick.
Very bizarre.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no less namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.